From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. A secular Shiite challenger has emerged as the biggest vote-getter in Iraq's general elections. NPR's Quill Lawrence in Baghdad reports that a former prime minister with strong ties to the U.S. has edged out the incumbent.
None of Iraq's electoral slates won enough seats in the parliament to form a government on their own, but Ayad Alawi won the highest number of seats, which gives him the first turn at forming a coalition. Alawi won the support of Iraq's Sunni population, who had previously boycotted national elections. Sitting Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki had predicted a big win, and as Alawi's lead crystallized this week, the Prime Minister's office issued several statements demanding a manual recount and even hinting that he would use Iraq's security forces to ensure a win. After the announcement of results, Maliki made a statement to the nation that he would challenge the results through legal channels. American and United Nations officials saw no signs of systematic fraud in the poll. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Baghdad.
The trial of a Marine charged with killing Iraqi civilians in the town of Haditha will go forward. Staff Sergeant Frank Wooderich is the only remaining defendant in the case. He led the squad that killed 24 Iraqis in 2005 after a roadside bombing. Charges had been dropped against six other Marines. One Marine was acquitted. Rescuers are searching for the crew of a South Korean Navy vessel that sank yesterday in the Yellow Sea. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Seoul that fears of a North Korean attack appear to have been unfounded.
A government spokesman is quoting President Lee Myung-bak as saying that every possibility should be considered in investigating why the patrol boat Chonan went down on Friday night. The government is investigating the possibility of a North Korean torpedo attack, but the South's Yonhap News Agency quotes an unnamed official as saying that the North was not behind the incident. Yonhap also says that military divers are fighting strong currents off the Korean Peninsula's west coast as they search for dozens of missing sailors. Initial fears that North Korea was involved in the incident rattled stock markets. There have been two naval clashes in the area in recent years and a steady stream of threatening rhetoric out of Pyongyang. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Seoul.
President Obama says a new law on student loans will save the taxpayers $68 billion over the next 10 years. In his weekly address, the president also said the students themselves will save money.
The average student ends up with more than $23,000 in debt. So when this change takes effect in 2014, we'll cap a graduate's annual student loan repayments at 10% of his or her income.
The president said the new law will also help more people earn degrees and certificates, that by the end of this decade, the U.S. will have the highest proportion of college graduates in the world. The law will remove banks from acting as middlemen and arranging the loans. This is NPR News. AT&T has become the latest big company to announce it's taking an accounting charge because of the health care bill passed by Congress this week. NPR's Jim Zeroli reports.
The telecommunications giant said it would take a $1 billion charge for the first quarter of this year because of a change in the way the government taxes Medicare subsidies. AT&T also said it was looking into changing the kinds of benefits it offers retirees. The U.S. provides subsidies to companies that provide prescription drug benefits to retired employees. Under the bill signed this week, the companies will no longer be able to deduct the cost of those subsidies, which will increase their expenses. So far this week, Caterpillar, Deere & Company, 3M, and Valero Energy have all said they will be affected by the change in the bill. But the Obama administration says provisions of the bill are still being tweaked, and it's too soon to predict how much the bill will cost individual companies. Jim Zeroli, NPR News.
Sarah Palin is scheduled to speak today at a rally against the new health care law. The former governor of Alaska and Republican vice presidential candidate is to address thousands of Tea Party activists in Searchlight, Nevada, the hometown of Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. Reid is the top Democrat in the Senate and helped get the new law passed. When the bill was signed into law Tuesday, Vice President Joe Biden expresses excitement with a profanity, apparently not realizing his comment to the president was captured on audio and video. 17-year-old McKay Hatch is going to send him a T-shirt and a no-cussing penalty jar. The Pasadena teenager started a no-cussing club a few years ago, which has grown to include chapters in all 50 states and 20 countries. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.